Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We pretty recently did 2 episodes on Bayard Rustin, and in those episodes we talked a little bit about conscience objection to military service. Bayard Rustin was a Quaker, and because he was a pacifist, his conscience objection to war also evolved to include an objection to conscripting people into the military. So at one point, he had actually registered as a conscientious objector, which meant that if he had been drafted, he could be assigned to alternate non-combat service. But after this evolution in his views, he instead rescinded his registration and went to federal prison instead. Some of the response that we got to that episode moved today's topic farther up ahead on my short list of subjects. My short list is like 50 things long.
Yeah, my short list has a very similar number. It's short with the air quotes.
It's a whole year worth of podcasts. So it moved this topic ahead in that short list. Desmond T. Doss was also a conscientious objector, but his choices relating to this objection took a really different form from Bayard Rustin's. Doss did serve in the military in a non-combat role, and he was the first conscientious objector to be awarded the Medal of Honor. So today we're going to talk about him, as well as a little bit about 2 other conscientious objectors who have also been awarded the same honor.
Before we get into Doss's story, we're going to level set a little bit with a look at some of the history of conscience objection in the Western world. Doss and both of the other men that we're going to talk about were from the United States, but conscience objection in general is something that exists in a lot of other nations as well.
So, although the basic idea is a whole lot older, the term conscientious objector seems to have been coined sometime in the early 19th century to describe a person who refuses to comply with a requirement because doing so would violate their conscience. So this term has been applied to all kinds of requirements related to lots of different services and fields and circumstances. This includes medicine and law. But today we are really sticking to the context of conscience and military service.
Issues of conscience objection typically only come up when military service is mandatory in some way. This was true of the person typically cited as history's first conscientious objector. That was Maximilianus, who was the son of a Roman army veteran. He was required to join the military when he turned 21, and this was back in the year 295. Maximilianus refused, citing his Christian beliefs as his reason for refusal, and he was beheaded for doing so.
Historically, conscience objection to military service has usually, not always, been connected to pacifist religions. And this meant that in Europe, conscience objection became a lot more common following the Protestant Reformation. After the Reformation, the number and focus of religious denominations became a lot more diverse, and a lot more people began to choose which faith to belong to, rather than following a state-sponsored or nationally consistent religion. So Mennonites, for example, were exempt from mandatory guard duties because of their pacifist beliefs during the Dutch Wars of Independence in the 16th century.
Standards and rules about how to handle conscience objections also spread along with conscription into standing armies in Europe following the French Revolution. Nations saw a need to establish and maintain a standing army, but they also saw a need not to force their citizens to violate their religious principles in doing so.
It was really the 20th century before conscience objection sort of coalesced into an anti-war movement strategy. That was when people really started to describe themselves as conscientious objectors rather than describing conscription or military service or a specific war as something that was against their religion. And the idea that someone could have a conscience objection to war personally without it being based in a very specific organized religion started to become more common around the First World War as well.
And at the start of World War I, many European nations and the United States added specific conscience objection rules to their conscription policies, in part because of advocacy on the part of pacifist religious groups. When World War I ended, most, but not all, European nations ended their conscription programs, which temporarily tabled the issue of conscience objection.
When conscription started up again, before and during World War II, a lot of nations again offered alternative service to conscientious objectors, although people who felt like their conscience wouldn't allow them to support the war in any way, even if it were in a non-combat role, still usually wound up being sentenced to time in prison.
Today, many nations around the world view conscience objection as a fundamental human right protected by international law. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights was adopted by the United Nations General Assembly on December 10th of 1948 in the wake of World War II. Article 18 of that declaration reads, quote, "Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom, either alone or in a community with others, and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance."
Article 18 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which was adopted in 1966, builds on this idea further. Part one of that article is really similar to what Holly just read. And then it continues, two, "No one shall be subject to coercion, which would impair his freedom to have or adopt a religion or belief of his choice. Three, freedom to manifest one's religion or beliefs may be subject only to such limitations as are prescribed by law and are necessary to protect public safety, order, health, or morals, or the fundamental right and freedoms of others."
Although this declaration and covenant don't specifically mention conscience objection, many nations have interpreted conscience objection as an aspect of the freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. Also, the United Nations Commission on Human Rights, which was replaced by the Human Rights Council in 2006, has issued a number of other declarations that do specifically address conscience objection. Although these aren't legally binding among member states, they spell out conscience objection as being part of the fundamental human right to freedom of thought.
The first of these was Resolution 1987-46, which was passed in 1987 with 26 votes in favor, 2 against, and 14 abstentions. The following year, the Commission on Human Rights issued Resolution 1988-77, specifying that everyone has the right to conscience objection and calling on states that don't have conscience objection policies to develop them in a non-discriminatory way. A number of other resolutions upholding the right to conscience objection have followed since then.
Not every United Nations member state has agreed with those resolutions or with the interpretation that conscience objection is a fundamental human right. For example, Singapore drafted a letter to the Commission in 2002 that was co-signed by 16 member states. Those include Bangladesh, Botswana, China, Egypt, Eritrea, Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Myanmar, Rwanda, Singapore, Sudan, Syria, Thailand, Tanzania, and Vietnam, stating that they, quote, do not recognize the universal applicability of conscientious objection to military service. And of course, not every nation on earth is a member state of the United Nations.
There are so many nuances to all this, and from an ethical and moral standpoint. The decision to object or not to object is an incredibly personal one, and if conscience objection is a fundamental human right, then that means that people who do serve in the military are fighting to protect the right not to, whether they agree with the existence of that right or not. And there have also been lots of times in history when the idea of conscience objections has become just incredibly divisive, and the most obvious is probably during the Vietnam War. All of that is really outside the scope of our show today, but we would be remiss if we did not at least acknowledge it.
So for Desmond T. Doss, the decision not to fight was not actually even something he thought of as a conscience objection. He actually preferred to be called a conscientious cooperator. And we're going to talk about him after a brief word from one of our sponsors.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Desmond T. Doss was born in Lynchburg, Virginia on February 7th, 1919. His mother worked in a shoe factory and his father was a carpenter. And their family were members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In their home, they had a framed poster that displayed the illustrated Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. And the illustration of the sixth commandment of thou shalt not kill was of Cain having just killed his brother Abel from the book of Genesis.
This image had an almost visceral impact on the young Desmond. He was appalled at the idea that one brother could murder another. And he also believed that bearing arms was a sin against God.
In April of 1942, Doss enlisted in the Army for World War II. Although he was designated as a conscientious objector, he didn't actually have an objection to serving, as long as he didn't have to kill anyone or carry a weapon and could observe the Sabbath each Saturday. To reconcile his service with his faith, Doss became a medic. Being a medic would let him help people rather than harm them, and he didn't have an objection to doing actual medical work on Saturday since, in his words, quote, Christ healed on the Sabbath.
Even so, Doss faced harassment and derision from his peers while they were in training. In addition to his religious refusal to carry a weapon or do non-medical work like participating in drills on Saturdays, he continued his practice of devotion and prayers. He was also a vegetarian for religious reasons. At one point, his commanding officer attempted to have him discharged from the Army on the grounds that he was mentally ill. Doss's response, quote, I'd be a very poor Christian if I accepted a discharge implying that I was mentally off because of my religion.
In the end, though, Doss completed his training and was deployed with the 307th Infantry, 77th Infantry Division. He left for Guam in the summer of 1944, and he served as a medic both there and on the island of Leyte in the Philippines, earning the Bronze Star for his heroism.
In the spring of 1945, Doss was part of the Battle of Okinawa, which stretched from April 1st to June 22nd of 1945 and pitted the U.S. and its allies against Japanese troops that were deeply entrenched in caves, tunnels, and other cover. Doss's unit was on the 400-foot-tall ridge at Maeda Escarpment when a Japanese force staged a counterattack on Saturday, May 5th of 1945.
Doss was the only medic with them on the escarpment, and while some of the American force was able to retreat back down, a lot of the men who were wounded were stranded on top of this ridge and pinned down under fire from the Japanese force.
Doss remained with the wounded men, and he rigged a sling to evacuate them one at a time down the face of a cliff using knots and techniques that he had learned as a youth when working in a flood rescue. He used a tree stump to anchor his sling. He loaded each wounded man into it, and he lowered them 35 feet to safety on a protected ledge below. He did this over and over while under fire until every man was down, and then he lowered himself. His commanding officer wanted to credit him with saving 100 men's lives that day. He said it was only more like 50, and they eventually compromised at 75.
His heroic efforts to save people's lives did not stop there, though. He basically continued to rescue men from under fire repeatedly, including carrying people to safety while being fired upon for pretty much the whole next week.
On May 12th, he was injured by a grenade and had multiple shrapnel injuries to his legs. Although another medic was nearby, Doss cared for his injuries himself for 5 hours rather than having the other medic risk his own safety and come to help. Then, when Doss was finally evacuated, he saw another soldier whose need he thought was greater, so he got off the litter he was being carried on and asked the medics to take care of that other man instead.
Then, while he was waiting for them to come back for him, he was struck in the arm by enemy fire and sustained a compound fracture. And possibly the only time in his life that he ever handled a weapon, he made a splint for himself out of a rifle stock and then crawled to an aid station 300 yards away with one of his arms broken and splinted.
Just stand in awe of all of this. I can't even grasp the fortitude a person has to have. Which is why he earned the nickname the Wonder Man of Okinawa.
Desmond T. Doss was one of the men awarded the Medal of Honor by President Harry S. Truman on October 12, 1945. Doss had been a private when he took these actions that led to this recognition, and he was a corporal when it was actually awarded to him.
His injuries from the war, however, were extensive, and he needed ongoing medical care, and he eventually lost a lung to tuberculosis. He spent about 6 years in hospitals trying to recover, and he had planned to go to a trade school and become a florist, but the extent of his injuries and illnesses made that impossible. He devoted most of his life instead to religious work, and in 1976, he suddenly lost his hearing.
In 1991, Doss's first wife, Dorothy, who he had married in 1942 before leaving for the service, died in a car accident. He remarried about 3 years later, and his second wife, Frances, was still living when Doss died on March 23, 2006, at the age of 87.
In 1987, he said in an interview, quote, "I wasn't trying to be a hero. I was thinking about it from this standpoint. In a house on fire and a mother has a child in that house, what prompts her to go in and get that child? Love. I loved my men, and they loved me. I don't consider myself a hero. I just couldn't give them up, just like that mother couldn't give up the child." For all of his life, he credited God with his survival during the war.
After another brief sponsor break, we will talk a little bit about two other conscientious objectors who have also been awarded the Medal of Honor.
So we have talked about Squarespace before on the podcast. Both Tracy and I use it. I have my personal sewing blog website there, and I love it. It's super easy to use. You can create your Squarespace website with a simple, intuitive process. If I can figure it out without much issue, I guarantee you can as well. And you can add and arrange your content and features with just the click of a mouse. If you want a free custom domain, that is also available. Squarespace also makes it easy to add a domain to your site. So if you have already purchased one through another provider, you can slot that right in. I know from personal experience. But if you want to sign up for a year with Squarespace, you will get your custom domain name for a year for free. They have beautiful templates. You can design a really amazing site with their award-winning setups that they already have, and you can customize them. And it's so simple and easy. They have seamless commerce tools, so if you are building your website with the desire to make money and monetize some skill or thing that you have, you absolutely can do that as well, and they make it super simple to integrate. Squarespace offers 24/7 customer support, so you can reach out to them online and they will get back to you. They are super nice, I can tell you from experience. Every member of their customer care team knows what they are talking about, and they really know the service and the software inside and out, so they are going to get your problem solved. Lickety split. Basically, you can start your free trial of all of this wonderment today at squarespace.com. Just enter the offer code HISTORY to get 10% off your first purchase. That is squarespace.com. Enter offer code HISTORY, and you will be able to set your website apart. We spoke right before the break about two other conscientious objectors who have also been awarded the Medal of Honor, and both of them received that honor for work as medics in Vietnam. The first was Thomas W. Bennett of Morgantown, West Virginia. His military records didn't list a denominational preference, but sources suggest that he was raised either Methodist or Southern Baptist. Regardless, he attended the services of multiple denominations, and he came to a sincerely held belief that all life was sacred. He also vehemently objected to the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War specifically.
Bennett was drafted during that involvement in Vietnam, and after he lost his student deferment due to poor grades at West Virginia University, he wound up registering as a conscientious objector who was willing to serve in a non-combat role. He became a medic and was eventually deployed to Vietnam. On February 9th of 1969, his platoon there was ambushed.
In the words of his Medal of Honor citation, quote, "Corporal Bennett, with complete disregard for his safety, ran through the heavy fire to his fallen comrades, administered life-saving first aid under fire, and then made repeated trips carrying the wounded men to positions of relative safety from which they would be medically evacuated from the battle position. Corporal Bennett repeatedly braved the intense enemy fire moving across open areas to give aid and comfort to his wounded comrades. He valiantly exposed himself to the heavy fire in order to retrieve the bodies of several fallen personnel."
Then, as the whole platoon was awaiting for helicopters to rescue the injured men, he spent the night outside the safety of any kind of shelter, tending to wounded people who couldn't be moved.
On February 11th, a similar event happened again when the platoon came under sniper fire. And once again, Bennett put himself at risk repeatedly to try to aid the wounded, including an attempt to save a fellow soldier who had fallen ahead of the company's position. Even though he was warned that the fallen soldier would be impossible to reach given where he was and the amount of enemy fire, Bennett tried anyway, and he was mortally wounded in the process. He was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor on April 7th of 1970, which would have been his 23rd birthday.
The third conscientious objector to be awarded the Medal of Honor was Specialist 4 Joseph G. LaPointe, Jr., and there's not as much biographical information that's publicly available on him. Army records, though, identified him as a Baptist.
On June 2nd of 1969, the patrol he was on fell under heavy enemy fire. He rendered aid while under fire to two injured soldiers, and to do so, he had to crawl directly into the line of sight of an enemy bunker. He resorted to shielding the two fallen men with his own body, but all three were killed by an enemy grenade.
In addition to his Medal of Honor, LaPointe was also posthumously awarded the Silver Star. He was survived by his wife Cindy and his son, also named Joseph, who was unfortunately born after his father's death. And that's a little bit about conscience objection and conscientious objectors.
Now that I'm all good and choked up, would you like to read me some listener mail?
Sure, I do have some listener mail. And actually, this listener mail is pretty lighthearted.
Yay!
To bring us up from a lot of wartime death, which, I don't know, you and I both have family members who are in the service, and some of that can be emotional. I'll just put it that way. It can be emotional.
Yep.
So, this is from Charlene. Charlene wrote to us about our Harriet Tubman episodes, and she says, "I'm a student at Salisbury University, which is located in Wicomico County, Maryland. Wicomico County borders Tubman's native Dorchester County. In 2009, SU unveiled a statue of Tubman on campus that was sculpted by one of our art professors, Dr. James K. Hill. The university's website describes it as follows, quote, Hill's sculpture depicts Tubman walking through a Dorchester County marsh, looking behind with her hand outstretched to those whom she is leading to freedom. With her are two companions, a saw-whet owl and a rabbit looking ahead. According to Hill, they symbolize two aspects of Tubman. One is a freedom fighter, the wide-eyed owl seeking slaves to liberate. The saw-whet owl lives in the swamps of the Mid-Atlantic seaboard, but migrates to Canada each year just as Tubman did. The other is the rabbit, which traditionally represents vigilance, intuition, and forward progress despite fear. This burrowing animal goes underground, symbolizing Tubman's role as a conductor, the Underground Railroad. Hill's rabbit is alert, just as Tubman was ever alert. I think that is also part of the quoted material. So then Charlene continues, "When I first saw the statue, I had a different interpretation. Harriet is depicted with one arm outstretched. Her other hand holds her skirt. She isn't wearing that pair of bloomer pants. The rabbit is at her feet, and the owl is on her shoulder. Her mouth is open as if she is calling to someone. I looked at the statue, turned to my friend, and said, 'Her mouth is open like she's singing, and woodland animals have come to her.' I had no idea that Harriet Tubman was a Disney princess." And then she sends some links of bigger pictures and more of Dr. Hill's work and an article about the statue and says, "Sincerely, Charlene." Okay, so I want to stress this is a lovely statue. I like it a lot. It does indeed have like a Disney princess quality. So now I kind of want, maybe it would be more like rejected princesses. I hope our listeners are all familiar with rejected princesses. But yes, it does have a slightly Disney heroine about to burst into song. Look about it. We will put a link to it from the show notes.
That would be sort of a cool Disney movie, I think.
Well, especially given the slow progression of Disney's princess heroines.
Yeah.
Over the last several years, I could see, maybe not specifically Harriet Tubman, but like I could see that being a princess role. Anyway, if you would like to write to us about this or any other podcast, we're at History Podcast at HowStuffWorks.com. We're also on Facebook at Facebook.com/MissedInHistory and on Twitter at MissedInHistory. Our Tumblr is MissedInHistory.tumblr.com. We're also on Pinterest at Pinterest.com/MissedInHistory and our Instagram is at MissedInHistory. If you'd like to learn more about what we talked about today, you can come to our parent company's website, which is HowStuffWorks.com, and put the word draft in the search bar. You will learn about how the U.S. draft works, which includes some information about conscience objection and what people have to do in the United States to be registered as conscientious objectors. So you don't just basically walk up and say, "I object," and then get exempt from everything. That's not how it works. You can also come to our website, which is MissedInHistory.com, and find show notes for all the episodes Holly and I have ever done. We will have the links to the thing about the statue in this one. There's an archive of every episode we've ever done, some other cool stuff. So you can do all that and a whole lot more at HowStuffWorks.com or MissedInHistory.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. "I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge." Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.